We're calling tonight's message, The Tower of the Flock. Very few people, even though this is very biblical, know and understand this. Very few. Most people believe that he was born in a stable with donkeys and whatever, smelly. I don't know how many of you have ever been to a stable. Now, there's nothing wrong with having a stable. But he wasn't born in a stable. I know some things about what I'm going to tell you tonight. I'm not allowed to tell you the whole story of everything that I know. I wish I could tell you, but I can't. But what I can tell you, everything I'm telling you, is public knowledge now. But I can't tell you everything because everything isn't known. But Christ, where was he born? Well, obviously he's born in Bethlehem. We'd have to deny the Bible to say he wasn't born in Bethlehem. But where was he born? Well, let's look at Micah 5:2. This is what we quote for years and years and certainly believe, always believe. But Micah 5:2, "But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose going forth have been from of old and from everlasting." Anything ought to prove to you the Bible's the Word of God, you should need no more than that. It says that he that comes forth is forever and will be forever, that he had no beginning and he has no end, that he's the Lord that was the Son of God, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. The Trinity, no one can understand the Trinity. No one can understand the love of God. But we were told where he would be born. But exactly where would he be born in Bethlehem? All the hindrance, all the things that was done to try to stop God, to try to stop the Christ from being born in Bethlehem, it was unbelievable. But no one could stop. No one could stop the Son of God. He's always been the Son of God. He'll always be the Son of God. He was the eternal Son of God. And he will always be the eternal Son of God. The Father giving up his Son is more than we can comprehend. Some of you have lost children and you know the terrible pain. The pain is unbelievable. I can't imagine. I don't know it. I don't know it. But none of us can imagine the pain of Jesus. The hindrances that tried to stop it. The New Testament does not tell us where he was born in Bethlehem. But the Old Testament does. The Old Testament does. Edersham says this in his book, Bible History, Old Testament, in the introduction. "For properly understood, Scripture is full of Christ and are intended to point to Christ as the only Savior. It is not only the law which is a schoolmaster unto Christ, nor types which are shadows of Christ, nor yet the prophecies which are predictions of Christ, but the whole Old Testament history is full of Christ." I believe there's not a page in the Old Testament that does not point to Jesus the Messiah. I do not believe that. Now let's look over. Now we all know Micah 5:2, but how many people really understand Micah 4:10? Same book. "Be in pain and labor to bring forth, O daughter of Zion, like a woman in travail, for now thou shalt go forth out of the city, thou shalt dwell in the field, and thou shalt go even to Babylon, and thou shalt be delivered. There the Lord shall redeem thee from the hand of thy enemies." This first message is talking that Israel will leave and come back. Israel has been out of the land and come back. No other country in the history of earth has even ever all left their country for one day and come back. Israel went to the Babylonian captivity and came back. Israel was scattered all over the world for almost 2,000 years and came back. Only Israel God says, I bless those that bless thee and curse those that curse thee. And I'll tell you, if our government wants to see our government sink quicker than all the sins that we've committed, and we've committed many sins, but let us take our hand off of Israel and we will sink as fast as any explosion you've ever seen of them detonating a building. That's God's apple of his eye. And he said they would be back. 1 Samuel 17:15, but David went and returned from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem. Oh, I love Bethlehem. Many of you have been to Bethlehem. We've been to Bethlehem. We've seen them making bread on the streets. Bethlehem means a house of bread, which the bread of life came down to Bethlehem, the house of bread. I should still see that first trip to Bethlehem. I still see that old lady sitting out there. I still see her hand making fresh bread. I still see one of our dearest people that is even sitting in this building tonight. And she raised her hand and she said, Pastor, is the bread safe to eat? I couldn't believe what I was hearing. You're in the Bethlehem, the house of bread, where Jesus, the bread of life, came. A lady had just pulled it out of an oven of many degrees temperature, and is it safe to eat? I said, if this bread isn't safe to eat, you better go home and die now, because there's nothing safer than this. Nothing. I know some of you are germaphobes. I realize that. I know some of you carry the squirt bottles with you. You squirt your hand before the bottle and after the bottle. But that bread of life was safe to eat in Bethlehem. And take him and receive him. And oh, is it good. I could give up all the pies and all the cakes on earth before I could give up bread. But Jesus, the bread from heaven, wow. Wow. Do you get it? Do you see it? You know, the Bible never mentions him being born in a stable or the back of an inn. Never says it. We assume it because we know it, right? I mean, we've had a stable up here. Nothing wrong with that. We've had a stable up here, and we've seen the kings ride in on a camel. So we know it's true, right? But that's not what the Bible says. The actual birthplace of Jesus was not an accident. It was not somewhere that God didn't know before the foundation of the world where he would be born and where he had to be born. Nowhere. And let me tell you something else where he was born. It was not fancy. It was not five star, period. It was not. But it wasn't a dirty stable. The Son of God was born in a clean place. And there was no cleaner place in all of Israel than where the temple sheep were born. Clean. Now, I'm going to give a little bit of imagination to this message. I can't prove everything I'm saying. It's just imagination. I know I'm probably right, but I can't prove it. How do you know? Well, where Christ was born, I want to show you in a second. But he was born at the same place the threshing floor was where Ruth and Boaz met. He was born at a place where the winds would come in. Even the day we were there, and our church has been there, I believe, three times to the place of the Tower of the Flock. But I believe with my whole heart, the day he was born, there were beautiful breezes coming into that cave. He was born in a cave. And I believe that wind was coming through. And I believe it was like the most wonderful air conditioning the world has ever known. And that place was clean because the temple sheep were born there. And it had to be clean. And our Lord was born in a clean place, not a stable, not the back of an inn. There were two inns. There was an inn for those that had the lineage of David. And they would have a right to stay in the inn of the temple flock. For their wives, for their children, there was an inn. The innkeeper that we think about was not the way it was. It was not that kind of innkeeper, but it was full. The temple inn that kept the relatives was full. And he was born. This gives me chills. In a cave where they kept the temple sheep. Now, are you ready for this? Are you ready for this? Over the cave is the oldest Star of David ever found in all of Israel. Furthermore, King David was born in the same place that King Jesus was born. If that doesn't give you chills, friends, you don't have a brain and you don't have a body. In the same cave. And I looked at that Star of David over the cave. And here's the one that's going to take and set on the throne of David. Whew. Man. And when I saw it, I couldn't believe what I was seeing. We were only so many of us allowed to go down into there. I'll never forget it. My wife goes up to Dr. Ball. Said, Dr. Ball, I haven't been down there. My husband told me I couldn't go. Of course, Linda, you can go. Can you believe that? She did that. And she got to go down there. Some of our other women got to go down there. And they got to see the literal place Christ was born. Because it is the Tower of the Flock. You say, wait a minute. He was born in Bethlehem. It was in Bethlehem. I believe this. Now, some people believe Bethlehem was a lot bigger then. I believe Bethlehem was a lot smaller. And what we see as Bethlehem today wasn't Bethlehem then. It was right off the road. The road made a curve. It went up to the threshing floor where you could see a tower. And it was a tower of the flock and a cave built out of a tower where Ruth and Boaz met. The day we were there, the winds were just coming down. There was no wind that day until we got to the threshing floor. It was the one spot that all the hills, all the winds came in this one place. Wow. Well, let's keep going. Micah 4:8. But thou, O tower of the flock, the stronghold of the daughter of Zion, unto thee shall it come, even the first dominion, the kingdom shall come to the daughters of Jerusalem. Where? At the tower of the flock. Now, friends, there are a lot of people believed that he'd be born at the tower of the flock. They didn't know where it was for a long time. David should come there. But this is talking about more than the first dominion. This is the first and second dominion. The first dominion, Christ came in weakness. As a baby, with David and Solomon's kingdom in doubt and in jeopardy and already lost. The tower of the flock, though, is where he would come. He shall be called the Son of the Highest. He will sit upon the throne of David. Jesus, the creator of heavens and the earth, the one that David couldn't be born without Christ, but Israel's greatest king. David was born at the Tower of the Flock. And Jesus was born at the Tower of the Flock. Whew. Man, that ought to get you. The Hebrew is Mendel Edar, Tower of the Flock. It was a military tower erected to view into the valley, the edge of Bethlehem, to protect the city. to look for invaders. The tower of the flock was a protection and a birthplace. It was a military stronghold and a place where the temple sheep would be born. Look at Genesis 35, 19 through 21. And Rachel died. Oh, Rachel. Oh, David's Rachel. David loved Rachel. And was buried in the way of Ephraim, which is Bethlehem. And Jacob set a pillar upon her grave. And this is pillar of Rachel's grave unto this day. And by the way, you've been there, you've seen. Right by the Tower of the Flock to this day is Rachel's grave. Israel journeyed and spread its tent beyond the Tower of Edar. Wow. The bloodline of David. No one to this day could prove that they're the bloodline of David. Christ had to come while there's still a bloodline. Boy, if that doesn't get you excited. The Tower of Edar. Migdal in the Hebrew. And it meant a great tower of sizable height. It meant a rostrum. And it also means, you ready for this? Bed of flowers. We were singing the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star, the fairest of 10,000. I believe this because of the Hebrew. I believe when Christ was born, there were the most gorgeous flowers you've ever seen at the Tower of the Flock. And it was gorgeous. And you can almost see those flowers. I can see them in my head right now. I've been all over Israel. I've seen Israel in bloom. And I believe that when he was born, it was not in the cold winter, but it was when the Tower of the Flock was in full bloom. And I believe you could see the flowers of the many different colors. My wife brought me some flowers of tulips and lilies. The other day she got them at such a good price, and they were so beautiful. And the tulips, and I could just see all those at the Tower of the Flock. I could see the many colors. I could see Mary going in to this Tower of the Flock as a cave and giving birth to where tens of thousands of temple sheep had given birth for the temple. And many believe goats were also birthed there for the temple. These shepherds were not ordinary shepherds. These were highly skilled. Now I realize that I've preached many a sermon saying these were the filthiest, dirtiest shepherds, but these were not. These were clean shepherds that had been skilled in how to bring the sheep in without spot or blemish. Wow. Genesis 48:7, as for me, when I came to Padan, Rachel died by me in the land of Canaan in the way where yet was but a little way to Ephrat, and I buried her there in the way of Ephrat, and the same as Bethlehem. I mean, that's the only one you can see to this day. You say, how could it be the same one? I believe it is. And then it turns, the old road turns, and he goes up to the Tower of the Flock, which is there today. Wow. Now, Eldersham, and he wrote this in Life and Times of Jesus, Messiah, Book 2, Chapter 6, he states, Migdal Edar was not the watchtower for the ordinary flocks that pastured on the barren sheep ground beyond Bethlehem, but it lay close to the town on the road to Jerusalem. The conclusion that the flocks which pastured there were destined to be temple sacrifices. Well, that has been found. The anointed one of the flocks of Israel, Rabbi Mink, says this. He said, they spread their tents beyond Migdal Edar, the place where King Messiah will reveal himself at the last days. What are we to make of all this information from the writings of the rabbi? First, that Migdal Edar was to be the watchtower that guarded the temple flocks that were raised to serve as sacrificial animals in the temple. They were not just any flock and herd. The shepherds who kept them were men who were specifically trained for the royal task. They were educated in animal husbandry. This was to be sacrificed, had to be, and it was their job to make sure that none of the animals were hurt, damaged, or blemished. These lambs were apparently wrapped in swaddling clothes to protect them from injury and also use them to wrap the Lord Jesus. I believe that the only place they used swaddling clothes was here. And they would take the sheep and they would put them in the manger. And they would take and clean them off. And they would wrap them in swaddling clothes so they would make sure that nothing would happen to the temple sheep, because they had to be perfect. Because they were representing the Lamb of God, which had to be perfect. And tens of thousands of lambs were raised and birthed there, the Tower of the Flock. And Jesus was born there. And they carried him over. And the manger was up off the ground. And they placed him in this rock-hewn manger. And they put him in there. And they wrapped him in swaddling clothes. And the shepherds, they knew where the Tower of the Flock was. They knew that it had been prophesied that Messiah would be born and revealed from the Tower of the Flock. When the angels came, they said, "You shall find him wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." They knew exactly where to go. They had no question where to go. And they went to this place that had the flowers. They had, I believe, the natural air conditioning from the threshing floor. I believe the breeze was coming through. And I believe when they went in and they saw Messiah, King Jesus. See, the first time he came, he didn't come the way he was supposed to. He was supposed to come as a king. He was supposed to oust the Romans. But the first time King Jesus came, he came to represent the little lambs, the most harmless of all creatures. As a child, my brother and I can tell you that we had a farmer, and they would sometimes have lambs that were rejected. And we would always want to go out and we would feed the lambs with a little bucket that had a nipple on it. And we would feed those lambs. And they were the rejected lambs. And my daddy said once, he said, "Son, that's like the rejected lamb of Christ." These were lambs that for some reason their mother rejected. And this was a lamb that their mama didn't reject. But Israel, the mother of the Messiah, rejected. Oh my goodness. Same place as David was born. Same place as the sheep was born. The same cloths that the sheep had. That's where he was born. Boy, if you don't know anything that needs to prove Christ, nothing but this can prove him. Micah was God's prophet. He was warning Israel. The captivity is coming. The southern and northern kingdom are going to be dispersed, but they will come back. Listen, I believe in my whole heart, I do believe that Israel would come back. They did in the Zionist movement in 1948. Iran, will they attack Iran? Yes, they will. Will it be soon? I don't know. Will our president help in the attack? I don't know. I really don't know. But Israel is God's apple of his eye. But he tells Israel, not by Iran, and that's the correct pronunciation, Iran. It will be not Iran, but Israel will have to go out of the land one more time. But he says, from what happened at the Tower of the Flock, will be the one that will come and set up his eternal kingdom. Wow. The manger made of a rock. Wow. I wish I could tell you everything I know right now, but I can't. But can you see that Christ laying in a manger? Not a cattle trough. Not a cattle drinking trough, as I've taught all these years. Boy, it's hard to admit you taught something that wasn't right. But I did. But a manger where the temple sheep were wrapped in swaddling clothes and protected. Wow. There was no need for the angels to get directions. No need at all, because they knew where it was. Wow. Do you understand it? The tower of the flock. The right manger. The right shepherds. The right swaddling clothes. Boy, when you think of swaddling clothes, you just think of a baby's blanket, right? Well, that's kind of what it was. But it was clothes that was specifically for the temple lands. Ruth and Boaz. Boy, when I stood there, I thought of Ruth and Boaz, and my heart leaped with joy. And then I was allowed. Some of you went down. Who all went down that day? Anybody raise your hand? Were any of you the privileged, or were you all the outcast? Not any of you. None of you but my wife? Oh, Naomi did. I remember you doing it, because you were a sneak like Linda. I remember that, Naomi. Did you go to Dr. Ball and kind of show some tears? Yeah, she did. I don't blame any of you for wanting to go. Wow, that was fun. That was great. And you know what else? Now, you ready for this? This gives me chills. He had to be linked with the Passover. Do you get it now? He had to be linked with the Passover. Look at 1 Corinthians 5:7. Purge out therefore the old leaven, that you may be a new lump. As you are unleavened, for even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Christ our what? Passover. So he was born the same place to represent and to tie in with the Passover. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. And Christ was born where the Passover lambs were born. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Whew. Man, that ought to get you, right? And you know, I love this. You know, the people of Israel that had Kippur, Yom Kippur, and it was a covering. And Yom Kippur was the highest covering. And the lambs were coverings. As a charge account salvation, they get saved and get paid for later. But when John the Baptist saw Christ coming, and he saw Christ that had been born in the same place as David, city of David, he had to be born of the lineage of David, and he saw him coming, and the greatest statement, the statement that I have in my mind, and I can't even believe it. John 1:29, the next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world. No more Kippurahs. That's why we don't sacrifice animals anymore. That's why we don't sacrifice sheep. That's why we believe in dispensations. Because I don't know anybody anywhere in any Christian church in the world. Now, there's probably some that are nuts, but I don't know of any that sacrifice lambs, because we don't sacrifice lambs, because there's no more Kippurahs, there's no more coverings. He takes away the sin of the world. And now we can be absolutely sure of going to heaven, not think or hope or maybe, but sure of going to heaven. And look at 1 Peter 1:19. But with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Boy, I tell you, we have something to believe. You know, anybody says, well, I don't know if you really believe the Bible. Well, if you don't really believe the Bible, you don't want to believe the Bible. I tell you, there's a lot of these, quote, professors and theologians, and they don't believe the Bible. But I believe the Bible. And I believe the Bible more today than the day I got saved. And the day I got saved, I believe the Bible. Don't you love to believe the Bible? Two images of his lowliness. The shepherd's tower from Bethlehem, the birthplace of David, offers protection to the flock. In the lowliness, Messiah came, yet indeed, a tower protecting, watching, and defending not only the sheep of Israel, but God's perfect sheep that he made from Messiah. In Proverbs 18:10, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run it into it and is safe. Jacob needed comfort when he lost his dear wife. He had no idea that the comfort would come in the time of Jacob's trouble. The Lamb of God, which this time and next time in the second dominion will come. And he will be the King of kings and Lord of lords, the only potentate. He will come, and he will be the great of the great. And he will be the king that will sit on David's throne, that was born in the same place David was born. And yet David could not have been born without him letting David be born. And yet he will sit on a human throne. Because Christ was born, the Lamb of God, as a human being. And we should think of ourselves as lambs. And we should think of ourselves as fortunate. We should think of ourselves as saying, I'm going to serve the King of kings and Lord of lords. We have hundreds and thousands of people today that do not believe in our Savior. They do not believe that he was born anywhere. They do not even believe that Messiah Jesus was born. But he was. And friend, he was born in the tower of the flock. Isn't that great news? You know, friend, if you're here today and you don't know Christ, I'm going to do this real quick, but this billfold represents sin. God says, I love you, but I hate your sin. You got to get rid of it, but the Lamb of God, Christ, born in the tower of the flock, born as a human. Now, are you ready for this? He was born in a cave and was buried in a cave. Isn't that amazing? He said he'd be buried in a rich man's tomb, and he was. This hand representing Christ that knew no sin, that was made sin for us, that we could be made the righteousness of God in him. Isn't that great?